are listening to the Ooh Travel Guide.
Season two.
Oh, it's not the time where we end. This is the part where the podcast begins.
So excited to be back. Feeling.
The train just fell off the tracks.
The train has turned into a marshmallow.
We got some popsicles in the basement. And today we're going to be talking about Ice King and his memory loss.
Good evening, everyone. This is the Ooh Travel Guide coming at you from people's basements, bedrooms, and general outside areas and whatnot. We are here to talk about Adventure Time and all of our feelings regarding the show and theories and answer some fan questions and junk. My name is Black Catula. I'm generally considered to be the host around here. It's kind of good to be back in my chair after, 6 months of inactivity. I'm joined tonight by a cadre of wonderful people. Who would like to introduce themselves first?
Hey guys, it's Renegade Pineapple. I'm back in business, and it's really, really, really awesome to be back here doing the second season of The Travel Guide, and I can't wait to get this thing started.
Most excellent. Holland, are you next?
Hi, I'm Holland. Also known as My Mind Wanders on Broken Feet, and I'm new here.
We couldn't tell.
Hi, my name is Saibi. Same username on Tumblr. I'm also new here, and that's about it.
I am John Green, and I am known by my handle Superior Sarcasm on Tumblr. I've been around, just never on the show.
Yeah, actually, you used to work behind the scenes for us making the, was it the recap pages or not recap?
Transcripts.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Back when we were a lot more active.
Yes.
Hopefully we will be more active now. All right, so we're gathered here today for one purpose and one purpose only. That is the discussion of what is probably the most emotional and heart-wrecking episode that Adventure Time has ever put out to date. I Remember You. You may now proceed to join hands. And
Dude. All I gotta say is heart-wrenching owies. I mean, I had a theory that it was gonna be bad, but, oh, dude. No, right in the feels.
Yeah, you kind of, from the title card, you could already see it's not a happy episode. It's gonna be heart-wrenching, and it was.
Yeah.
So much.
Yeah, very much.
I had no idea what to expect because I had been off the grid for a little while, and I finally watched it while I was at work, and God, that was a big mistake. I'm just sitting behind the counter at a library, just fighting back sobs. And,
oh, I hear you.
Oh, dude.
Oh.
Someone get John a medal.
Honestly, I didn't really get hit by the episode until the very ending with Hambo. It showed that there was this big link between the two of them, but they didn't quite elaborate enough on what exactly happened with them. And I'm kind of hoping that they have another episode on what actually happened during the Mushroom War and not just that he forgot her.
I think it's been strongly hinted that next. Actually, I guess this Monday's episode, that's just a couple days away, the Lich is going to speak a little bit more about the Mushroom War. Don't know if that means it's going to mention Simon Petrikov again, though.
I just think they executed it really well. I mean, I had a theory that they were going to be connected somehow. My theory was that maybe they had a previous relationship before the Mushroom War. I assume that maybe he was a mentor to her in another way, as in, maybe he was a teacher of hers or something like that. I had no idea that they were just going to, pull us out of, our little safety bubble and just make it, surrogate father. I was just oh, God. I was not ready for that.
That's very true. I didn't expect that. Well, it's also one of those moments where they kind of give a heart to the quote-unquote bad guy, Ice King. Bleh. Ice King is supposed to be this, this heartless guy that's just going out to kidnap the princesses, and then you find out that before he was given this wretched magic, he was actually, this caring, sweet guy, which, of course, he has been given moments where you kind of see he's not all there, he's not all that bright, but it was kind of a moment of, wow, a lot of depth to this person, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and it's one thing that's kind of interesting that I like to point out to people is that while Ice King obviously does not use condonable methods to obtain princesses, kidnapping, manipulation, straight up cutting out body parts and making his own princess, we can actually see at the end of Princess Monster Wife that really all he actually wants is just a normal married life. He's just using completely sociopathic and unacceptable methods of getting it.
Exactly. Like, I was thinking about that a little more during the end of the episode, and it really does tie into that. Just because everyone thinks that they really knew him as, like, you know, a defined villain character, and now it's just like, oh gosh, you know, everything's been turned on their heads, and it's, I don't know, I think it's made a lot of people uncomfortable, because, you know, when people say kids show, you know, you think there's a definite bad guys, good guys thing. Mm-hmm. And with the Ice King, it's really, I think it's more circumstance. Like, obviously, the crown has an immense effect on, you know, who he is now versus who he was then. And I think we really can't peg him, at least in my personal opinion, you can't really peg him as a bad guy per se, because we don't know the extent of the crown's actual hold on him, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
But that's just my opinion.
Yeah, it's very, very gray.
I'm kind of hoping that this sets up also for maybe a better moment in Marceline's past, because so far we've pretty much just seen Ash coming and destroying her life, and now we've seen Ice King leaving her, and we know that her and Bubblegum have had a rocky past. So I'm kind of hoping that maybe the next Marceline episode gives her a little bit of happiness in her story, because this is honestly just, I think part of the biggest, like, feel in it is just that she's had such a rough 1,000 years that it's just so much more heartbreaking to watch someone else leave her.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's what got me the most out of the entire episode. Sure, I mean, I could sympathize with the Ice King, but that's really what hit it home for me. I'm just like, oh God, not again. And it was just, just, ugh. But on a happy note, can we just point out that we know the origin of who gave, you know, Marceline Hambo? I mean, I think that's like a little glimmer of hope that this episode has given us. And, you know, out of all the crying and the peeing that we did during watching the episode, I think that was just, you know, a really nice little happy kernel.
Yeah, absolutely.
That little bit was the only thing that, like, got me through the rest of the episode. Like, I mean, sure, it's that, like, joyful, heart-wrenching, like, you know, you got that knife in my heart already. You're just pulling it out, but I'm still going to bleed and all that kind of stuff. But the fact that that was there to kind of, like, give me a little happy face bandage and a little kiss on that cut was just something that, oh, that was nice. It was just nice.
And we must say that Rebecca Sugar did another wonderful job with the song "I Remember You."
Oh man!
Seriously, who agrees that they should release like an official Marceline album? Because it would go platinum. Don't lie. You know you'd buy it.
I'd be the first.
I mean, if Chris Brown can still sell records.
Oh God!
Soiled it.
I feel like the entire fandom would just be sitting outside of any record store, like, all night, just waiting for the release of this album.
He totally would, especially if they had,
in tents on the sidewalk.
If they had posters and stuff, oh, man.
You know.
And I have been to, like, 4 different comic shops in the past, like, month and a half, and I haven't found any place that is not sold out of the Adventure Time comics.
If I haven't even bothered to look, because I know that they'll be sold out in my area. Let's just be real.
You're not the only one. I went to, like, about 4 different ones, and they're just like, nope, we don't have it. Sorry.
Pretty much the day I learn that it comes out, I go on to Boom Studios' website and just pre-order it right there. I'm just like, okay, it's out. I need it right now. I need it.
Yeah, well, aren't you a smart little cookie? Some of us aren't. Aren't that...
I'm not a cookie, I'm a princess!
Oh, God.
Anyways, I think we're derailing a little bit, guys.
A little bit, maybe. Actually, coming back to Marceline for a second, I think the ultimate takeaway from the episode as a whole is that it's not so much about feeling sorrier for the Ice King and for what happened to Simon. I think it's more about, I think we're meant to identify with Marceline in the episode. It's less about watching Simon slip away. Clearly he's already gone and slipped away, you know, completely as the Ice King. We're meant to see it from Marceline's perspective, seeing someone that you used to know a long time ago, now lost to Alzheimer's or dementia, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what really makes it just heart-wrenching. I mean...
definitely.
I like also that the entire time that you're watching the episode, Finn and Jake are outside, and they're kind of learning with you that this terrible thing has happened.
I don't know. I felt actually kind of... I don't know the proper word for it. I want to say offended by their peeping. I'm just like, dude, like, it's a private moment. You know,
yeah.
GTFO. Like, I was just like, dude, you don't do that. That's not cool. Maybe it's just me, like, you know?
They just wanted to make sure that everything was okay, though. Like, that he wasn't going to try and kill Marceline. Okay?
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, man. Like, for me, the Marceline having to deal with this Alzheimer's type situation, that they did it so well that, I don't know, I had to deal with my grandmother getting Alzheimer's and going in one day and her not knowing who I am and her asking me about stuff and telling me stories that she had told me like the day before and not remember that I'd come to see her then. Just being able to relate with that and it being written so well to that, just wow.
I'm glad that we can have that perspective on the show today. You know, I mean, I wish I could say I could, you know, understand it from that point of view. Well, not wish, but you know what I mean. Because it was a hard subject, and, you know, I think a lot of people are seeing it, you know, only from one angle, and that's a deep perspective.
It is.
It's one of those moments where you kind of feel like one of the writers really, they knew that feeling, and that's why they could write it so well. Like, they put a little piece of something they experienced or something they knew into it. As, like, it seems like they have with a few Adventure Time episodes that were sad like this, or a few of the moments that were just, they were so into the emotion that it's, you really feel like you've not only connected with the characters, but the writers themselves.
Totally.
Dude, you just blew my mind. I didn't even think of that. Like, oh. No, but that makes so much sense. Like, oh, that's... God damn it.
Yeah, exactly. Just to add on to what Holland said, is like you see Marcy go from getting really angry to, like, just pleading with the Ice King. You don't remember me. You don't remember who you are, Simon. To her just kind of, like... accepting the fact that once again his mind has gone off and that she thinks back to happier times, aka when she gets Hambo from Simon.
Which reminds me, I think I'm a little fuddled up with the sequence of events. Is this the first time that Ice King and Marceline have been in the same episode together? I mean, have they officially met before?
Like, interact? No. Or just...
Yeah, interact. Because, like, I'm trying to figure out, like, is this the first time she's seeing him after X amount of time that we don't know about?
Yes.
Because, you know, in the when he comes through the door and she's like, no, I assumed that, you know, she hadn't seen him in God knows how long since that hasn't been revealed yet. I just wanted to make sure.
I'm pretty sure they hadn't had any interaction in any episode prior to that. I think the only time they were ever even on screen together was when, like, during Holly Jolly Secrets, right at the very end when everybody kind of gathers up around BMO and whatever. I think that's the only time they've ever actually been on screen.
Yeah, that's the only episode they've been together, but they didn't have any interaction because for some reason they didn't let Marceline in. She had to enjoy everyone's company from outside Nicole.
That may have, in hindsight, that may have actually been foreshadowing. If she saw the Ice King there inside the house, she may not have wanted to come in.
Yeah.
Ow.
Which is...
Okay.
Way to rip the bandage off, Kat.
No, I know. It's terrible because I saw a post on this on Tumblr. Like, if you actually go back and retroactively look at all the early episodes, take the first Marceline episode, Evicted. She had just spent all this time hopping around from place to place and, like... with no real explanation other than she was just going from place to place and then found an old tree she used to live in to settle back down.
God,
why was she going from place
to
place?
And that makes a lot of sense. And that's probably what killed me the most.
It's just like, how can you How can you go back retroactively like that and match up completely with your canon and write something? You're writing it backwards and forwards and all over the place, and it still makes sense. How do you do that?
But that's what makes Adventure Time Adventure Time, and that's why we love it.
I know.
Yeah, the writers are just clever people.
Clever girl.
No, but I was just thinking that, you know, everyone's like, you know, it's a children's show, they said. The fun will never end, they said. But, you know, being serious about it, you know, it really is a kid's show. But I think that the modern definition of kid's show is exactly what Adventure Time is portraying. You know, it shows you how to deal with real life things. They're not all, you know, sunshine and rainbows sometimes, you know, especially with last episode being a good point for this, you know, the whole possible dementia Alzheimer's thing. And, you know, I think it's probably the first quote-unquote children's show that really is dealt with such hardcore issues, and that has dealt with them well, mind you. But that's just my opinion. I mean, that's what keeps drawing me back, you know, week after week.
Precisely.
I'm definitely no way in the age range for the demographic for Adventure Time, but, you know, it is what it is, and I can't get enough.
Exactly.
Keeping on the subject of the kids show, she actually kind of said what I had meant to say, but it has been, like, in previous kids shows, they've wanted to touch on things that were very serious issues for kids, but as she said, this is, like, the first one that's really done it well. Like, Sesame Street once did a thing where they were trying to teach kids what it was like to grieve over a death, but it was more so comforting kids, like, you know, giving them a pat on the back than it was, like, actually saying, we understand you. And that's actually an important thing in society currently, to say to kids, we understand you, we know what you're going through. And it's, you know, it's groundbreaking, or different, or some amount of words.
Fresh.
Oh, yeah, man, I don't even think... It's kind of sad that we have to label it as groundbreaking. I mean, you would think that people would just do this instinctively. I mean, I don't understand why people assume that children don't understand really complex topics. I mean, sure, like, really small children obviously don't understand, you know, mature topics, but, I mean, you're going to find out somehow. And I really don't think, like, you know, the way most TV shows handle certain things really doesn't help anybody. I mean, because as Holland said with the example of, you know, just patting somebody on the back, that really doesn't convey that, you know, this is something that everybody goes through and these feelings are normal and, you know, like, this is how you deal with them, you know?
I know exactly what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, not to delve onto the topic that much, but it's mostly because, you know, parents have been taught, you know, we have to shield our child from, you know, this and that and the other thing. So I'm actually happy that Adventure Time has, you know, somehow created a way to, you know, show kids, you know, this is what happens, and this is, you know, how you might get be able to get through it.
Yeah, I think that's pretty important, actually. Over-sheltering just leads to kids having unanswered questions. Then they try and, you know, when they have no idea of how the world works because they've been shielded from even wanting to ask questions or wanting to find out how it works, you know, it doesn't prepare them very well, I don't think. So it's really important to have stuff like that.
You know, I just got an idea, but I was thinking that, you know, you've never really seen a cartoon character really express the range of emotions that Adventure Time presents. Like, I don't think I've ever remembered seeing a cartoon character actually cry due to grief in the entire time I've been watching TV, and that's a long time, you know? And, you know, it's not like they're shoving it in anyone's face. I mean, they're approaching it, and they're saying, you know, sometimes stuff hurts sometimes. I don't know. I can't words. I'm just so choked up. It's just...
You know how a lot of really old sitcoms would do a quote-unquote very special episode about this or that? It made about drug use or, like, I remember Full House did an episode about someone with Alzheimer's. The way they approach that, though, is in a very, in kind of like a very stiff classroom kind of way. Mm-hmm. They tell you, like, this is what you're going to see. It's going to feel kind of like this. There's not really a set way to approach it or deal with it. So here's our episode about it. It's the thing that we made happen. Whereas with Adventure Time, we're presented the situation with a character that we already know. And instead of it just being like shown on a slide on the chalkboard or whatever, it's shown as just a scene in two people's lives. They meet and that's the scene that took place. And this is how she tried to deal with it. This is what she's going through. It's totally normal to feel these kind of things. And it tells you that sometimes there just isn't a solution and everybody kind of deals with it in their own way. It's all in the way it's presented, I think.
That's exactly it. That's the wording. I couldn't figure it out. It's the perspective. That's exactly it. It's instead of saying this is what you're going through, I think the whole point of actually seeing it from that third person perspective really makes it less jarring and less, dare I say, just less, you know, frightening and scary, you know. And I think the last point you said is probably the most important part, that sometimes the, you know, the tough things in life don't have a solution. Sometimes things don't tie up nice and tidy, and I think that they did not try and solve the problem.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. The third person perspective makes a complete difference on how it's received and all that kind of stuff. Even when we're talking about a world like the Land of Ooh, where magic is relevant, and that's exactly why this has happened to him. I mean, that explanation in this term just doesn't take away from the emotion that it conveys, which is nice. And part of me wants to say that because of that magic and all that kind of stuff, that maybe somehow they'll find a way to get his sanity back, bring Simon back to Marceline and introduce him as a more character or something like that. But I don't know, man. Train just fell off the tracks.
The train just turned into a marshmallow.
I like that.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I like how it's kind of, they don't sugarcoat it in a way that... I just realized what I said. Pun aside, they don't, you know, sugarcoat it like they did on the special episodes you said. It's kind of like not fully sugarcoated, but it's also, you know, they give you the bare bone facts. In a sense.
Speaking of sugarcoating, that actually brings me on to the next point I wanted to talk to, looping back to possible ways to bring Simon back. I'm pretty sure everybody has thought about or has seen the Tumblr post where someone's headcanon was saying that, well, just go to PB because she's a scientist and maybe she can figure it out. What's everyone's idea on that? Because I'm still on the fence about it. Well, one, I think it's too easy just for the Adventure Time staffers to write, but also I think it goes against the characters that have been developed. I don't think that Marceline would go to PB for something like that, you know, because she doesn't talk about her past with people and
exactly.
stuff like that.
Exactly. And knowing what we know that the characters know, the only ones who really actually know about the Ice King's past are Marceline and Finn and Jake. And given that fact, I think it seems to me like they've all kind of accepted that Simon is a character from the past and he's probably not coming back. So they've probably just kind of put it away in their minds that why even try to bring Simon back? I mean, he's possessed by a crown that, you know, nobody has any idea how it works. It's ancient magic. It's probably far beyond the knowledge of anybody else. It's a hopeless situation. We should just keep him as the Ice King and all that stuff.
I think it should be said, though, that there is a difference between how each of them feels on the whole Simon thing, because Finn and Jake have probably accepted it and put it in the back of their mind and just said, well, he's the Ice King now. We'll keep an eye on him. We'll smack him on the wrist and we'll send him back to the Ice Kingdom whenever he's bad. But I think that Marceline may have, in certain terms, accepted it. But I think, in a way, what we saw in this episode was that part of her still hasn't let go of Simon. Like, this is a 1,000-year lifespan of her outliving everyone, of her having people leave her, of her, you know, just things going wrong, things going missing, and especially during the war when she had no one. And this man just comes along, and he takes care of her, and he does things for her, and he shows her like, you're going to be okay, you're going to survive. And I think that she held on to that through the course of all of these centuries because she needed that thought in her head of Simon saying, you're going to be okay. And that's kind of a headcanon for me, is that maybe every time that things got bad and every time she felt like she was going to cry, she just grabbed onto Hambo and said to herself, you know, everything's going to be okay. He told me everything's going to be okay and everything will be okay. And I think that she has accepted that Simon is gone and she has maybe accepted that he's the Ice King now. But I think that maybe she's still holding on to that part of him. That part that saved her life, and that will always keep saving her life.
As I just start crying over here, dear God, Holland. Oh, wait a minute. That's probably really good point that I think a lot of people will either want to just not think about because it's too painful, at least right now. But since we're on the topic of heart-wrenching headcanon, can I kind of sort of tell mine? I don't know.
Go for it.
Go for it.
Let me get the tissues first. No. Since we don't know the exact time frame between, you know, when Marceline received Hambo and now, between the interaction between her and Simon, and if, you know, they haven't seen each other within X amount of time, my headcanon is loosely based on that the reason why maybe she was left in the wreckage of the world was maybe her dad had some hand in starting it. You know, maybe he, maybe his brother's the Lich, maybe his brother's death, I don't know. But maybe he was too busy at the office and he lost track of his daughter and, you know, shit got, you know, got real and, you know, maybe she was playing outside and, you know, got stuck in the city somewhere. You know, it could be anything. But, I just really want to know why he wasn't there, you know? I mean, if we're assuming that he's been ruling the Nidosphere for, like, ever, and if it's safe to assume that the Nidosphere actually is a parallel for Hell, well, maybe he was super busy, you know, ushering souls in after the war. You know, maybe he couldn't leave. You know, I mean, who knows? And, I mean, since Adventure Time does not, you know, sugarcoat anything and make everything covered in pillows, you know, maybe that's a possible headcanon. I don't know, but...
It's a good one.
Yeah, did anyone see the Tumblr post I don't remember who it was, but someone was making an alliteration to the whole "Why did you eat my fries?" scene where, you know, her father was like, "These fries are cold," and someone was just like, "The Ice King bought her those fries," and her dad showed up, and then it got me to thinking that what happens if maybe they were at that joint because the Ice King and Marceline had found her father, and they were, like, trying to, like, you know, meet up and do an exchange, and crazy headcanon, just ignore me because the feelings are coming back.
Oh, no.
Jesus Christ, no.
Of course, if that was true, then it would make much more sense why we see part of the Eat Sign in Ice King's past room.
Yeah, see, that's what I was trying to get. I was just like, what's the possible connection for that Eat Sign? Like, Jesus. He had to have been there, and, like... That has to explain it. He had to have been there at some point in time. And the only logical reason why he would take it is because if he has somehow associates it with Marceline.
Good Lord.
Drops microphone. I'm out.
I don't know. Like, I love that Eat Sign headcanon thing. But I looked at, like, the pictures of each of them and, like, stared at them forever. And they're two different signs, though. That's the thing that gets me.
Yeah, I saw that too. I was trying to dust that under the rug, but hey, you know, I mean, it's Adventure Time. It could be whatever, man, you know?
I know.
Maybe he couldn't get his hands on that Eat Sign, so he's like, well, that's also an Eat Sign, so close enough.
You know, but that's totally like him. He would totally do that.
This looks familiar. I don't know why it looks familiar. I might as well take it.
Right in the heart.
I actually think it would be very interesting for Ice King to meet Marceline's dad, because I think that maybe it would bring up some regrets for Marceline's dad for him not being there when someone else was. And I think it would be interesting for Ice King, especially as he doesn't remember now. Like, he would meet this guy, and this guy would kind of have this, like, resentment towards him. Like, you know, you took care of my daughter and I didn't. And sometimes those kind of feelings spur a little bit of hate in people. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe Marceline's dad would kind of not like the Ice King. The Ice King really wouldn't understand why. And I think it would be very, it would kind of tear Marceline in two, like to see the two people that she really looks to and that she really cares about, one not understanding what the problem is and one feeling like he knows the problem all too well. And I think that would be a very big clash if they were to meet. It would definitely make a very interesting moment.
Oh, you're killing me over here.
Wow.
The whole emotional connection between the two is the sense of helplessness on her part.
Exactly.
I think the biggest problem for Marceline is that she can't save him the way that he saved her. And I think that's what breaks her heart the most.
Because she's not a wizard, she doesn't, you know, understand science. She's just a kid, so to speak, and she can't do anything. Ugh, this episode.
This whole season, I think, is going to follow this type of, like, not quite heart-wrenchingness, but what is a
just
word
the
I'm looking for? Yeah. Very realness. Did y'all see the post about all the different episodes and like how they're relating
just
to real world topics?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if it was too sensitive or not, but
No. Yeah, actually we did get one of the asks that we got was, could you please discuss what you think of the way recent episodes have been handling social and personal issues? Which is hilarious because there's that Tumblr post that had, you know, just a whole list of them.
But this is
a trend that's kind of been going on in Adventure Time, not quite since the beginning, but since probably about, I'm going to say season 3-ish, they started introducing all this stuff. Why don't we just start addressing some of these questions that we have? So here is our first question.
Okay, this first one is from Anonymous, and it says, could you please discuss what you think of the way recent episodes have been handling social personal issues?
So, recent episodes, should we just cover what's been, like, recent, like season 4 recent, or should we go back further? Because there were some really good ones in season 3, too.
Well, when did season 4 end?
Season 4 ends on the next episode, which is the...
No, I meant season 3, excuse me.
Right. Season 3 ended with the jump between Incendium and Hot to the Touch. So
really?
The first meeting of Flame Princess, that was the beginning of season 4.
Oh. Yeah, we probably need to go back as far as, you know, season 3.
Yeah, there's some really good ones in season 3 that I wanted to point out. Let's just go down the list real quick and we can, if anybody would like to interrupt me as I read off these titles to say a few words about them, please go ahead. Princess Monster Wife deals with body image, acceptance of yourself, things like that. I mean, for no matter what you look like. Princess Cookie dealing with transgender identities. Absolutely beautiful. Also tear-inducing episode. Yeah. Princess Cookie also committed suicide on screen by jumping off a cliff. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Kids yeah. Show. Yeah. For kids.
You know, but... yeah, I want to talk about that, but let's go through the list.
Okay. We'll make a note of that one. You Made Me talks about characters who have Asperger's syndrome, which is 100% true. I know a handful of Aspies, as they call themselves sometimes, and Lemon Grab's characteristics match up with those exactly, which is...
I never figured that out until I saw this post, and it makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm. Same. Looking back on it in hindsight, I'm like, yeah, that's exactly like my friend Colin. It's hard to understand him sometimes just because of that reason.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. My cousin who was diagnosed with Asperger's, and it matches up uncannily.
Again, props to the writers.
Hear, hear.
Next on the list, we've got The Hard Easy, which lists comfortable and sexuality, which kind of only happens right at the end of the episode, but it's a valid point nonetheless. Finn kisses Mr. Huge Prince. Or actually, kisses the frog who turns into Mr. Huge Prince. And Huge Prince even says right then and there, he's like, "Wow, thanks. Not many guys would do that for another guy." And Finn's like, "Whatevs."
Didn't even have to say no homo.
Exactly.
Seriously.
So, yeah. I remember you having Alzheimer's and dementia.
Whew. Man, I'm getting mentally tired just thinking about it.
I know, right?
To talk about... you made me, maybe for a second, mentioning Asperger's syndrome. My little brother was diagnosed with Asperger's earlier this year. And at first it was kind of difficult because, like, there was a big concern of he's not hanging out with the other kids and he's not feeling comfortable going to school. And it was getting to the point where we were worried about him socially. And I think that it's actually really interesting that a show could display the symptoms of Asperger's and not, like, make a point to say, like, oh, he has this, or, oh, look at him, he's got that, but it's perfectly okay. Like, they didn't make it a spotlighted, like, look at that. That makes him really unique and special character. Like, they just made it to where it was just a normal thing that nobody even pointed out. Like, that was something you had to say to yourself, oh, he has all of these symptoms. I always enjoy when shows or movies don't make a point about something that makes someone, like, different. Like, they just, you know, they just let it be. Recently Paranorman did with a homosexual character, he just kind of blended in. He was just a normal character. It wasn't, like, a spotlighted, like, look, we have a gay kid in our movie. Like, I hate when shows do that. So having an Asperger's related character that they didn't say, look, over there, we have a special friend, and we're nice people, you know, look at that. I don't know. I think that was kind of something that I liked about it.
Exactly.
I also wanted to add on, like, I tutor in my spare time, and I tutor children with special needs. And there are a lot of children who have Asperger's, and we're taught, you know, to work with them through what they want to do. And at the same time, you know, get what we want to teach them to get the point across. So I thought it was actually, the episode was done very well. Like, so well. I actually sent one of my professors, like, the link, and I said, you know what, I think you should show this to, you know, your next students. This is a good way, because not a lot of people know how to, like, you know, handle people who have Asperger's or other, you know, other conditions. So I thought it was done very well.
Yeah, I like, it kind of continues what I was saying before, but it's just, I like that he was just treated as a character normally would, no matter what. It wasn't something that people were trying to accept about him, or, like, trying to treat as, like, an, oh, that's good, buddy. It was like it was just a part of him. And it was just accepted as, like, it's hard to explain. I'm trying to think of how to word this. He was just treated normally. Like, it wasn't something that was pointed out.
Can I just put in a little side note there for a second? Looping back to the beginning of what Holland said, I think basically the whole feel of Ooh is that either no one really knows the name for things, or they just don't really dwell upon things. Because, I mean, when you're in a world where magic exists, and it's flying rain of corns, and there's, like, monsters everywhere, who are you to say what one person is like compared to the next person, you know? I mean, that's putting it simply, but I think that the whole concept really just ties into everything, where everyone's just like, well, you know, there's a lot of different everybodies, and, you know, this is how it is.
Basically, they've done away with labels.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, because, like, new world, everything's yes. new, and there's no labels. There you go. Cat is brilliant.
Thank you. That was bothering me so bad.
That's the word for it, and that's the thing that bothers me a lot anyway. Just when people need to, like, subdivide and recategorize people like that into smaller and smaller subsets of people. Well, this is a person that has this. This is, you know, we have to list and segregate every possible type of disease or sexuality or gender identity into a smaller, more manageable unit like that. And that's pretty, it's pretty cool that they just, you know, do away with all that altogether. I really think that's cool stuff.
Yep. There are no cans of soup in the land of Ooh.
Precisely.
That's totally what I was trying to say, and I couldn't even... I was like, there's a term here that I'm just completely...
How do I words?
Yeah, and just to add on, I think Lemon Grab actually says, you know, who's to say that your way is the right way? It might not be the right way for me.
Yep.
Exactly.
Props.
I couldn't understand my lemon styles.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we have successfully answered that ask.
Woohoo!
So.
All right, this next one's from Guess What Time It Is, and they ask, finally, you're back. To start, I'd like to point out that Marceline has only ever cried because of her father, Simon, and PB. A parent's betrayal, a close friend succumbing to essentially dementia, and arguably a friend, lover, ex not accepting her. Adventure Time has laughs and fun, too. But what would you say is your favorite emotional aspect of the show?
That's a Sophie's choice, man. You can't make me pick between my children.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you have already touched upon that in the beginning of the show, but dude, I'm not even going to touch that. I love it all. That's all I'm saying.
Maybe if there's one I can think of that we haven't touched upon.
That's like asking someone what their favorite food is, and they may think they know what their favorite food is after they ate a little bit of food. But
you never know what your favorite food is. Just like you never know what your favorite type of ice cream is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like,
that's why you go to the restaurant and order like 5 scoops.
Tomorrow I'll like fries.
Yeah, exactly. No, you can't like fries. They've been eaten.
I just ate this nice cake, but that cheesecake over there is looking bomb as crap.
See, now I'm hungry.
One thing that I do like in Adventure Time a lot, like aside from all the obvious big ones, the sadness and the anger and the confusion. The confusion, actually, is one of the emotions I think Adventure Time portrays particularly well that a lot of other shows do not. When something comes out of the blue, or when something comes up that nobody really understands or can't make sense of the situation, they have to just wing it or roll with it, especially in an episode like No One Can Hear You, which is the one where Jake goes insane, gets hit on the head, and Finn's in a cast. The overall like uneasiness and the uncertainty that they throw into episodes like that, I think is a really good emotion. And then, like we were saying before, you can't really pick a favorite one, but that's one that I like to throw at people once in a while. I'm like, you got to remember, sometimes this show is really, really mysterious, and you really have no idea what to expect next.
It does not follow any general template for anything on the market in today's, you know, broadcast television. I mean, you can watch any show and basically everyone is stolen from everyone else as far as general episode templates go. You will always have a coming out episode. You will always have a boohoo, why does my boyfriend not like me episode. You will always have a school sucks episode. You know what I mean? And Adventure Time has said, forget this, we're doing our own stuff, because basically, I would like to think that they hopefully think it's irrelevant, you know? I mean, from what we've seen, you don't need that.
Exactly.
I think a few people have said this before, and as a shipper, I may not be allowed to touch up on the subject, but I like how Adventure Time touches on the subject of crushes and love and manages to keep it to where everything's fairly open and everything's, you know, like they manage to do exactly what they say they want to do, and they touch on the subject of love, but they don't focus on it, and they healed up Finn's wounds really well with bubblegum. They actually like kind of closed off his story with her and actually gave them like an ending in, what was that, Burning Low?
Yeah.
When she went on about the whole sacrifices thing. And actually that whole thing with sacrifices was, it was very different. Like, usually it's, in cartoons, it's, oh, I have a crush on you, and we should be together forever and ever and ever, and then the characters get together, or, you know, there's always a lot of, or they don't. And it's always a lot of cheesy, the same usual stuff. So it's kind of interesting to see how they're going with it, going with crushes and going with, oh, I just like you as a friend, and what it's like to be rejected and what it's like to actually find somebody that you do have something in common with that may everybody might not like you being with. Like, there's a lot of different ways that they look at the perspective of love that I really enjoy.
Absolutely.
I'm right there with you. The fact that they approach it in such a way in the writing that it's almost as though you're able to relate to it. It's not something like I found several books to be unrelatable and stuff like that for character-wise when it came to relationships, because I just seemed as though it was completely unreal and completely fake. But this touches on the small, subtle feelings that everything else is there, and that makes it more relatable and more more understanding in the sense of like small crushes and like overlapping feelings between two characters. And that is fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Something that I don't think people touch on very often is that in so many words, they've kind of mentioned the subject of being adopted. And like in the way that Finn was found and raised by someone else. And a lot of kids, you know, kids who have been adopted. I mean, I know a friend of mine was adopted when she was very young, and her sister was also adopted, and her sister had a lot of emotional trouble. And it's interesting to see a show actually have a kid that's been adopted and showing him like, oh, you know, everything's going to be, you know, you're cool. It's cool. You know, that's just a quote unquote emotional thing that they don't show a lot in shows. Like, I just think is interesting.
Mm-hmm. I want to just dial back a couple sentences on that about the whole fluidity, I'd like to say, of what the relationships are like in Adventure Time. They're not just, you know, as John said, the stale, rehashed person A likes person B, so either they'll get together or they won't, you know? I mean, it's real stuff. I mean, sometimes you like somebody, but you don't want to necessarily, you know, marry them or, you know, whatever. I mean, maybe you just want to hold their hand, like, you know, what Finn wants to do with Flame Princess. And I think they make a really good, I want to say, physical representation of how hard that is, because he actually can't touch her. And it's not, you know, an easy peasy, well, person A likes person B, therefore they should be together. And I think that's definitely what I like the most about it, in a small, tiny nutshell.
Sure.
What I was going to say, what I like about Adventure Time is kind of the way that they portray, like, the relationship between Finn and Jake, that they're siblings, that, you know, they love each other, but at sometimes they can just dislike each other, and it can come to blows. Because it's not, I mean, looking back on, like, you know, previous shows, you either had, like, you know, your main teen character with the, you know, the snobby little sibling or the snobby older sibling. But in this one, it's kind of, you know, they're cool with each other for the most part, but, you know, they also get into fights.
Yeah, they're kind of shown as bros, but not life isn't perfect bros.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. Keeping it real.
Speaking of keeping it real, guys, do not do tier 15!
Whoops.
I mean, guys, that probably has to be my favorite quote from Adventure Time from now on, just because. And
the fact that they can put that in there is just so great.
Oh.
Yeah, that's just fantastic. And I mean, that's just another layer on top of how real, you know, the interactions are between the characters. I mean, because, hello, we have puppy corns coming.
Yeah.
Or whatever they're calling them nowadays. Like, you know, corn dogs or puppy corns, whatever the official shit puppy name is. I don't know.
That must mean that Jake discovered all 15 feet of her gorgeous belly.
Oh, he's scared.
Subtlety, you're doing it right.
Oh, Lord. We're like 50 feet. She's got a long... She's a long thing.
but back to serious stuff.
I had one thing.
What?
Yeah?
You guys know what it means, right? That if they have puppy corns coming?
What?
It means he touched the butt.
Oh, okay.
We have no evidence of this.
I had to.
I'm sorry,
touched the butt.
We don't want evidence of this.
We don't know what the mating rituals of rainicorns are.
Moving on!
I'm gonna clap your eyes. Okay. I'm done.
Somewhere in here, we were supposed to answer questions, but I think that was lost.
Yeah.
Hey,
children.
Yeah. Next. Let's add some more.
Anonymous asked, "Do you think that the writers approve of all the Marceline PB shipping? Because there are a lot of hints in the episode, Ice King telling Marceline whatever it is you're into, and when she looks down when Ice King is singing about bubblegum, and don't get me started on what was missing. I decay, but it makes me think that they really want to put a gay character, but CN will never accept it."
Oh my god, how can I totally forget about the totally whatever you're in? Ah, I'm a horrible shipper, how can I forget that?
It's such a great line.
And the way he delivered it was just priceless.
Well, absolutely.
Perfect.
One thing I love about it is that, like, if you have crazy conservatives that are coming after you, you can still take that line in another way. Ice King specifically said, "I can have all the princesses, and you can have whatever it is you're into." Which, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, maybe she's into knights. Maybe she's into fashion designers. Maybe she's into train conductors.
Pink
who knows?
Princesses.
Pink princesses. Damn straight.
Woo! Even though, I have to say, being a sugarless gum shipper, and I wanted to totally take the whole little Easter egg in the living room with the O Bubblegum song, like, as a validation of my ship. I don't know, man. After this episode, I have to really rethink my whole stance on the whole shipping thing. I think, I still believe that they should be together, but, after what's been put in front of me, I'm gonna have to just sit back and reevaluate everything, and because right now, I can't physically write anything shippy. I'm just, if they actually were, you know, romantically involved at one point or another, that, on top of what happened in I Remember You, that's just a really raw wound for Marceline, you know? And I just can't, as a writer, just pretend that that's all okay.
Yeah.
So I kind of, in a way, depend on the new Marceline, as a lot of people who write Sugarless Gum, or really any of the ships, kind of depend on the new episodes to kind of give a little fresh material for Drabbles, or even emotions that they might put into their fanfictions. And I know that a lot of people seeing Marceline again after so long were kind of looking for, okay, maybe Sugarless Gum hints, because I think that every time Bubblegum or Marceline appears, the Sugarless Gum shippers are some dedicated, you know, people, and they go specifically looking for it. And I think that Marceline's reaction during the song was definitely something maybe to look into. And, I mean, the whatever it is you're into could really vaguely be anything about her sexuality. But I kind of think that the writers can do more for us shippers with subtext than they could with an actual relationship.
Exactly.
Like, once it gets to be an actual relationship, there's really nothing else for us to imagine. And I think slowly after that, writing is going to get a little less, and art's going to be a little less, because there's going to be less imagination to it. And I think that's something that I like about ships in Adventure Time, is that they leave so much open, and they leave so much open for imagination. And they have been answering their questions very, very well when they were asked. For instance, there was the panel where Rebecca Sugar was asked, were Marceline and Bubblegum ever in a relationship? To which she simply responded, "I don't think that's any of your business." And Tom Kenny, of course, had to add, "There's a lot of fan fiction on that subject." Which, I don't know about you guys, but that scared the hell out of me as a fan fiction writer, because I'm like, please don't tell me they're reading any of this.
Dude, I've had that scare way too many times.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm just flattering myself by saying that, because my writing is nowhere, anywhere worth anyone's time, but...
Oh,
yeah.
You lie.
Oh, yeah. Onto the sugarless gum. Yeah, at the same time, the fandom is great. They look at everything. I think I remember a Tumblr post, someone saying something about the cake that was left on the counter.
Oh, dude, I forgot the cake. What was up with the cake?
Because oh my gosh. it was white.
There was a
or
slice
yellow.
Missing, and I don't know.
Maybe she ate some food for once. I think she can eat it. Well, I mean,
you know.
She might actually.
Her plate is full of nothing but red things.
No, I think that actually she might be able to eat. She just can't sustain herself on regular food.
You know, actually, that totally reminds me. Back to the episode where I think it was "Go with Me." Actually, when she's in the first scene where she's creeping up behind Jake to freak him out when he's on the phone. If you actually freeze frame that image, you can actually see that she has molars in the back of her mouth. Boom!
This is what I'm talking about.
Well, I mean, my whole issue with the slice missing cake headcanon thing, I mean, nothing against anyone else, is the fact that Marceline does have other friends that are off screen. Like, we, not just confined to her ghost friends, but the people that we don't know about yet. She's got an entire other life we don't know about. So,
is this true?
There's just so much open to that
yeah.
I'd like to be able to say that. I would love to be able to say that because I ship sugarless gum like it's my job. I do it more than Mitt Romney avoids questions.
Oh.
Zing.
I can't with whole heart say that I completely agree with it.
I don't know. I was reading somewhere on Tumblr that someone said something that the cake had something to do with the lich. Maybe I was sleep deprived when I read that. I don't know. Just ignore me.
I'm trying to connect the dots.
I don't know what I'm talking about anymore.
Yeah, pineapple, stop being a fruit.
Oh!
Do I need to go and take out the air horn?
Next question. Questions? Are we still doing questions?
Questions.
Questions.
Okay. Moving back on to questions.
Zextrin asks, so what do you think about the theory of Dr. Princess as Betty? Who wants to hit this one first?
Again, I want to side with it's too easy, but on the other hand, I want it to be true. I don't know. I'm not touching this one either. I don't have any fully formed thoughts on this.
I was trying to think about this one a little bit today. For starters, we know for a fact that the only currently living human characters on the show are Finn and arguably Susan Strong. We know that the Ice King used to be human, and we know that Betty was obviously human, and any other character who appears human in nature is probably a human-something hybrid. Bubblegum's a human-bubblegum hybrid, so... It's probably safe to assume that Dr. Princess is medical human hybrid. Maybe she's part clone, something like that. I mean, if we're going into cloning and DNA cloning, she could have like strands of Betty's DNA, something like that.
You know, what gets me about that is, you know, when she was introducing herself to the Ice King, when he admitted Gunther into the to the hospital, she specifically said Dr. Princess, but you know, no relation. So she's not actually a princess, I don't believe. So maybe you know, that hints more towards something along the lines of her not being really, like, I don't know. What are you guys snickering about?
I have no idea, honestly.
I really want it to be true. I want Betty back, and good alliteration.
I just want the Ice King to
Betty
be happy.
Come back.
I mean, he's not like a bad dude.
You can play.
Like,
oh,
I mean,
me.
Oh, Kat, way to ruin it.
Hey, John.
Like, ever since Princess Monster Wife, I really just want the poor guy to be happy because he's just genuinely, you know, lonely and wants to be, you know, a freaking husband. That's it.
Yes. Okay, right. Questions. Okay, yes.
Burgundy Rose, which I almost read as Bugrundy Rose, asks, these are multiple questions for the podcast. Have you forgiven Ice King for kidnapping princesses and everything he has done wrong since he was under the power of the crown? Also, do you think that there is a possibility that he could have taken it off without dying. And between PB and Dr. Princess, who do you think has the higher chance of being Betty? Sorry if there are too many questions. You don't have to answer them all.
Oh, but we must. You ask them.
It's in our contract.
There's a possibility that PB is Betty?
Everyone's...
What? I've never even heard that headcanon.
Yeah, people have been posting it, but... I think
it's a contest between Dr. Princess and PB. People are going back and forth.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm going to do this as fast as possible. One, yes. Two, no, because he has lost the crown. The crown has fallen off before, and he has not died. And three, I want Dr. Princess to be Betty, but I have a headcanon that PB was made by Ice King in the image of Betty, and then he forgot that he did it.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah. That's a good one, John. And that's so something Adventure Time would do.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
Oh, but you know, that would totally ruin everything for me, because then I couldn't, I don't know if I could ship sugarless gum anymore, because that would just be so weird.
They'd be like, awkward, almost incest.
Yeah.
Now you're getting weird.
What are you doing today, PB? Just going to see Dab?
Oh, God, no, fuck.
No, no, stop,
stop,
stop.
Stop.
Done with that.
Oh, God, what have we done?
Pain.
I did a bad, I'm sorry.
You're breaking my ship.
Okay. Alright, let me take a stab at the questions here. Have I forgiven Ice King? Not really. I mean, granted he is, quote-unquote, under the power of the crown. The power of the crown, though, is immortality and ice magic at the cost of your memory of yourself, so giving up your soul for the sake of magic and all that. Ice King is still capable of learning how to behave properly, though, I think, even if he might forget it. So, I don't know, that's a gray area. That's a really gray area. Hard to find.
With that. I don't know. I mean, the way the question is worded, it kind of assumes that there's a way to kind of turn it off and that it could be better, and I don't really believe in that.
Exactly.
I believe that it's a constant thing, and under those circumstances, I do not really forgive him. Just because, I mean, as Kat said, he has been proven that he does have decency in there somewhere.
I could be the nice king.
And it's not his fault if he can't access that at will, you know. If the company he keeps doesn't understand that, that's not his fault.
It's really, really gray and hard to describe.
Yeah,
hard
exactly.
To nail down. But I'm gonna err on the side of I still have not forgiven Ice King for things he's done, because I think he's still capable of at least learning to some degree how to behave. Moving into the second part of that, do you think there's a possibility he can take it off without dying? He can take the crown off, and the crown can get knocked off of him, but on that same note, Frodo could take off the ring.
Exactly.
It would go back on his finger later, because he's, you know, it's drawn to him, he's addicted to it, and he can't help but be addicted to it. It's not necessarily even
good comparison.
It's not even his thing, but like, you can take it off, but it is eventually going to find its way back on. At some point.
Either by actually, like, see, that's the thing. I've always wondered, does the crown have a physical pull on him, as you just compared with the ring, or does he actually have the ability to take it off? But if he does, X amount of time later, will cause him to die, you know?
Right, right.
So either way, it's a sticky situation.
Yeah. And then for PB and Dr. Princess,
Yeah, I'm not touching that. I'm not sinking my ship. Let me have my...
I don't know. It's... On the one hand, I do like... Since it's been stated by creators that PB is human and bubblegum hype, I'm guessing that at some point, maybe Betty was put into stasis or had DNA drawn. Maybe we don't even know anything about Betty. I mean, what was she? Was she a nurse? Was she? She could have been in the medical profession. I mean, archaeologist dating a medical profession person. Why not? Anyway, yeah, I think it's possible that she was used for cloning or something like that, and then maybe parts of her DNA were used for characters like Dr. Princess and PB. So It's possible that either one could be. Who has a higher chance, though? Probably Dr. Princess? I don't know. I'm going to say Dr. Princess.
Yeah, I'm just going to stick with that.
I'm just going to say it just because, like, if I'm going with the cloning theory, it would make sense that she would be close to, she'd be in a profession that was close to that science, and medical science is the way to go. So Dr. Princess, she's medicine human hybrid. That's all I got. Okay, so before Holland pees her pants, what is your headcanon?
Okay, hello, yes. Okay, yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. Okay. So taking it back to the Lord of the Rings, I think I could forgive Ice King because maybe it's in the way, like the way that the ring ruined Gollum, to where he was once a hobbit, but the dark magic of the ring slowly over time just ruined him and controlled him. And there was this part of him that was still the hobbit that was out on the boat with his brother, and then there was also that part of him that became, that the big part of him that became contaminated when he became in possession of the precious, and when he strangled his brother, and when over all of this time of living, he just became this dirty, nasty creature that would kill and that would murder and steal in order to keep this and to stay this way. And I think in a way I could forgive Ice King because he has forgotten who he is, but he has these moments where he does still try to be good. Like, he isn't always necessarily a bad guy. Sometimes, you know, he's just kind of a doofus. And I think in a way the crown does give him immortality and the ice powers and all that. And I think that not only has immortality started to cause his mind to wander, but I think also dark magic, like his whole life is pretty much contained into this crown. And I think in a way you can link him to Gollum in the way that in the beginning he never meant to do bad things, but slowly over time this power became him and became like it controlled him. In a way.
Oh my god. So, Holland, oh my gosh. I just got the best idea thing ever. Okay, I totally... No, that's like genius. I just totally put two and together. I just realized that every type of magic he uses that's not like specifically ice power related is dark demon magic. Because, like, he has his demonic wishing eye, and he's got a lot of weird crap in his ice cave. Like, I think that's totally spot on. This could be a thing.
I think you're right. Like, it's obvious that he has more than just ice magic.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, he supplements it with other things, of course.
Yeah.
Okay, so, have you forgiven the Ice King? Yes and no. Like you guys said, it is a very, very gray area. I mean, right now, like, I'm trying to go over the scene of Holly Jolly Secrets, and... if I am correct, I remember him putting on the crown once, and then the next time you see him in the video, his, you know, his skin's already turning blue, his hair is slowly turning gray, and then for the rest of the video, you see the crown on his head, so it must have some controlling fact, you know, control over him. So, I mean... in that case, yeah, but at the same time, you know, he has shown, you know, signs of, you know, being his own self, being human, and, you know, knowing what's kind of right and wrong. So it's like a toss-up, and I don't know. It's undecided, basically. Do you think there is a possibility that he could have taken the crown off without dying? Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. And between PB and Dr. Princess, who do you think has the higher chance of being Betty? Dr. Princess, because just PB being Betty, I don't buy it. I don't think you can convince me that PB is Betty. I mean, yeah, it's kind of, you know, going the easier route saying, oh, Dr. Dr. Princess's Betty because, you know, she has this and that. And she kind of looks like Betty. But at the same time, it's like you're going to have to really stretch it if PB is actually Betty.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that.
Though at the same time, it would give a reason to why Ice King is always going, like, out of majority of the princesses, I think Ice King has gone off after Princess Bubblegum, I think, the most. You can correct me on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alright, John's gotta take off, so...
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
That's fine.
I'll see y'all later.
Later, John. Can we just go all the way back to the beginning and say that, hello, Simon has the Enchiridion?
Glob damn. That was some pretty crazy stuff.
I think, I don't know. I was reading a post on Tumblr where somebody was saying that maybe he read it and decided to edit it for some known reason. Because that whole chapter about how to kiss princesses, you know, that sounds something like Ice King would do, you know, maybe not like when he was Simon, but maybe he still had it in his possession when he made that final transition over to being Ice King? Who knows? Oh, and on the subject of books, does anybody else totally think that Jake is J.T. Dogowitz or whatever?
J.T. Dogzone?
J.T. Dogzone, yeah. Because, like, I was thinking that we all know that Jake writes that news column.
Yeah.
You know? And I think he was totally just playing it off that he kept it around for laughs. I don't know. Because why else would they, you know, feature the same book in the same episode? I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
It probably was, or some clever, like, a clever way to say that it was. And maybe that's also why Jake's like, no, don't read that. Don't read anything that guy says. That's terrible
advice.
Yeah,
totally. Yeah, exactly. He's
listen
just like,
to my advice.
Yeah.
Which is different from JT Dogzone's advice.
Yeah, I think that's totally what it was, just because.
Maybe Jake tried future farming when he was younger, and then he was like, oh shit, this ain't a good idea.
Dude, we all know that Jake's morals and ethics are a little questionable, so I'm not putting it past him on that. And dude, that this huge grasshopper is still sitting next to me.
That's so great. Crazy stuff, man.
Okay.
Are we gonna answer more?
I think that's the last question.
That's all the asks we've got.
Oh, okay.
So, Unless anybody else has any stuff they want to add as a final closing note thingy.
Well, this has been super fun. I miss this a lot, guys.
Yeah, I really miss doing this.
Oh, I scared the grasshopper away.
What?
Nothing.
What?
Nothing.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you. No. Yes. Okay.